message. I wasn't even thinking about it. All right, Psalm 61. Thank you, Sarah. Hey, Ben, can you turn that heat down just a notch? Psalm 61. I've titled this, When My Heart is Overwhelmed. And let's read first two verses. We'll see where that title came from. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And that word overwhelmed is to be covered over. And here, it's to be covered over like somebody that's drowning, like covered over with waves. And there's a rock that's near. And if you could just get to that rock's higher than you. And that rock could save you from those waves and from that drowning. But you're so overwhelmed, you can't even get to the rock. So you have to cry out, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. And have you ever been overwhelmed? Like your heart really overwhelmed? It's where you can't breathe. And it's a real thing. So overwhelmed. I've been speaking with some brethren, and there's quite a few brethren right now that are overwhelmed, going through different kinds of trials. And I want tonight to preach from this psalm, and I do pray God will be the preacher. And I pray that He would comfort our brethren that are suffering. Now I want to show you here in the first half, David makes some incredible vows to God. Some vows to God. He says, first of all, he says that he'll cry unto God no matter his condition. He says there in verse 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. And then he makes a vow down here in verse 4. He says, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Now, Selah means stop and consider. Now, consider this. How is it David can make those vows with such resolve? No sinner has power to keep a vow, much less to say that I'm going to always cry unto you, Lord. I'll abide in your tabernacle forever. I'll trust in the covert of your wings no matter what. That's pretty strong resolve to be able to make a vow like that. How could he do that? Well, the next half of the psalm, he gives what his assurance is that he'll do this. And it's not him at all. It's not his strength at all. It's the faithfulness of God. First of all, David's assurance that he will keep his vows is that God's already heard him pray. He's heard him when he cried. And he already made him a joint heir with Christ. Look here in verse 5. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. You've already heard. And that word vows there is the same word for prayer. You've already heard my cry. You've heard my prayer. Thou hast given me the heritage, the inheritance of those that fear thy name. You've given me the inheritance of those that believe on you. You've already given me the inheritance of those that believe on Christ. And then David's assurance that he'll continue to call upon God forever is because David sees by faith. David's looking down through the ages by faith. He believes God's word. And he sees by faith what God's going to do in Christ and what Christ is going to do for him. Now the commentators get all sideways here because they say, well, now David started speaking in third person. Well, the pronoun does change. But remember, David's anointed of God. He's a prophet, and he's speaking about Christ. Look at this pronoun change. He's talking about Christ here. David's king is who he's talking about. Verse 6, thou wilt prolong the king's life. and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. That's David's assurance that he's going to continually keep crying to God and abide in his tabernacle because of what Christ is going to do. And so David concludes. Notice the pronoun changes back to I now. He concludes. He says, verse 8, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. You see his vows there, what he's talking about. He's not talking about some grand promise to do something that God's not going to enable him to do. He's talking about, I'm going to cry unto thee, God. I'm going to trust in the covert of your wings. I'm going to abide in your tabernacle. And he says, and because of these things God has done in Christ, I will sing unto thy name forever. I'm going to praise your name forever for this, that I may daily perform my vows, that I may daily trust in thee and daily call upon thee, daily abide in thee. Now here's what I want you to get from this, and I want you to listen closely. If we believe on Christ, David said there that he'd already been called by God, he already trusted God, God already made him a joint heir with Christ. If we believe on Christ, then let us be assured that no matter our condition, from the end of the earth, or when our heart's overwhelmed and we have no strength, if we believe on Christ already, by God's grace, no matter what our condition is, let us be assured we shall continue crying unto God our Father. And we shall continue trusting Christ our King. Not by our strength, but by God's grace. That's what David's saying here. I want to show you this. I want to look first of all at David's condition, and then secondly at David's cry, and then thirdly, at David's confidence. First of all, David's condition in verse 2. He says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Now, David wrote this after he was a king. But here was the problem. He was an exiled king. Absalom had banished him from Jerusalem. He had banished him, and so now he's an exiled king. He's cut off from everybody. And he's crying out to God from the end of the earth. It feels to David like he is at the end of the earth. He's alone. He's alienated. Have you ever felt cut off? You ever felt alienated? You ever felt alone? That's especially hard to bear when you feel cut off from God. Cut off from God. Well, in addition, David was alienated from the one place God had appointed for worship. One place he could come and worship God in Jerusalem, and David couldn't go there. That's where David's true brethren were. David couldn't go into the house of God with his brethren and worship. And David loved that. David considered it a great privilege to be able to assemble with his brethren in the house of God. We are experiencing a little bit of what David felt from that, because don't you miss assembling together with your brethren? I'm looking forward to that so much when we can come back together and meet together, hear the gospel preached. That's one good thing this quarantine has done, that God's done through it, is he's made us appreciate this privilege that we have. Because you start missing something when you can't have it anymore. Now, to make David's situation even more sorrowful, it was his own dear son who brought him into this condition. David loved Absalom. You remember when he mourned for Absalom? He loved him. And his own son cast him out. His own son cut him off. You can understand why David said, my heart's overwhelmed. His own son did this to him. Even more sorrowful, sometimes God's saints are overwhelmed with a sense of our sin. You get overwhelmed with the guilt of your sin. You get overwhelmed with the shame of it. Sin that you hate. Sin you want to be done with. And just keep sinning. And you hate it. You're ashamed of it. Feel guilty. You know you're forgiven by God, but you don't want to do that to God. Sometimes we get sorrowful over our unbelief and can't even pray to God. Can't read His Word. Or you just don't trust His promises. Get fearful and get worried about whether you're really saved or not. There's all kinds of providence God brings upon us to afflict us. But the good news of that is it's of God's hand. Everything David was suffering here was on purpose. It was of God's hand. It was to bring him right where he was. Right where he was. And trials, when they come like this, they're like a sea. They're like a stormy sea. It's wave upon wave. And so our hearts become overwhelmed. It's like you come up and you get a breath of air and you sink back down. And you just can't breathe. You got this pressure on your heart all the time. Well, remember what Brother Ben just read. We have a great high priest seated at God's right hand in the heavens. He's walked right where we've walked. He suffered what we've suffered. He knows the feeling of our infirmities. If there's anybody who suffers, Christ has suffered more. Think about your suffering. Next time you're really suffering and you're really, sorrow is in your heart. Use that. Think about, as sorrowful as this is to me, think about what Christ bore and how sorrowful that must have been to Him. If we feel pain, Christ felt it more. If our hearts are overwhelmed, nobody's heart was overwhelmed like Christ on the cross. What should that make us do? Brother Ben just read it. First of all, he said, seeing we have a great high priest passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, number one, let us hold fast our profession. That's what David's doing in our text. David's in the middle of this sorrow, middle of this suffering, cut off at the end of the world. His heart's overwhelmed, and he's holding fast his profession. He says, I will cry unto you, God. I will abide in your tabernacle. He's got a strong resolve. I will. I will. And then, since Christ can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, come boldly to the throne of grace. Come to Him and ask Him for grace and ask Him for help in time of need. And that's the second thing here we see that David's doing. Now here's David's prayer. Look at verse 1. He says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. You know, in the midst of any trouble, knowing that Christ sits there at God's right hand, we should come boldly. That doesn't mean haughty and arrogant. And I'll tell you this, if our heart's overwhelmed within us and we're really broken, and God really brought us to this place where we're cut off, alienated, and broken, you won't come to God that way. This is not a demand. This is a begging God. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. See, he asked that before he starts praying. This is prayer before prayer. This is a petition before a petition. Before I lay out what I need, Lord, I just need to know you'll hear me. See that attitude, the spirit of that? It's good to have brethren who we can call on, especially right now. We should call on one another, text one another. I just finally got my hearing aid back, so maybe I can call now because I was in bad shape before, but I was trying to text you. But text, call, whatever. It's good to do that, especially brethren that are in need and have burdens to bear. Call on brethren and be brethren that can be called on. But let me tell you something. When God brings you to this place that David was, you can't even talk to brethren. When your heart's overwhelmed, you can't even talk to your brethren. But you can always cry to God. You can always cry to God. You're never too far at the end of the world, or end of the earth, and never too overwhelmed that you can't call on God. He's there. Now, I love this. I love how David is firm in his resolve in the midst of this trouble. He's holding fast his profession. But notice, it's not what the world calls resolve. This is a resolve to be entirely dependent on God. That's a good resolve. That's a good vow. I'm going to make a vow. I'm going to be resolute in this thing that I'm going to be entirely dependent on you, God. Look at verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry. Now that's some resolve there. I don't care where I am, how far, I will cry unto thee. Why are you crying, David? Because I don't have any strength. I need you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me. I can't get to the rock. I need you, Lord, to lead me to that rock. You see that resolve? I will cry. Well, who are you going to cry to? I'm going to cry to God because I need His help. I'm going to trust you when my heart's overwhelmed, Lord, to lead me to the rock. No matter where we are, no matter our condition, as strong as our trouble may be, let our resolve be stronger. I will cry unto Thee, O God. Lead me. I want every child of God to know this. You're never too far and your condition is never too bad to call upon God. Listen to Psalm 139. Look there to your right with me. Let's get there real quick. Psalm 139. Look at verse 7. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, listen, even there shall Thy hand lead me. Isn't that what David asked for? Lead me. He said, even there Thy hand shall lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. I need to be led to the rock. I need to be held up above these waves. He said, He'll lead me and He'll hold me. Now remember Christ's cry to the Father? Remember His cry to the Father? Here's David crying out to the Father. Remember Christ's cry in the midst of His travail? He was cut off from God. Talk about being alienated. Talk about crying out from the end of the earth. He was cut off from God. He was cut off from His brethren. Talk about heart being overwhelmed. He was cut off because He's bearing the sins of His people. Cut off because He's bearing the wrath of God. He was alienated from all. But look over at Hebrews 5. As alienated as He was, look at this, what we read here. Hebrews 5 and verse 7. Who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from death, and was heard in that He feared. Though He were a son. Now you think about this. Shall God's firstborn son suffer and we not suffer? Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. And God's teaching us by the things we're suffering. Teaching us to trust Him. Teaching us to look away from ourselves. Teaching us to trust Christ. Teaching us to be resolute, resolved and vowed to be utterly dependent on God and Him alone. And being made perfect, He perfected it. And He's our salvation. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. And so when our hearts are overwhelmed, here's our resolve, is to cry unto Him in utter dependence. Our psalm says, Psalm 61 verse 2, lead me, O God, to the rock that is higher than I. See, God's going to even get the glory for leading us to Christ. We can't even get to Christ when we're in this shape. We have to ask God, lead me to Christ. He gets the glory for leading me to Christ, and Christ gets the glory for being my rock. In the wilderness, Moses smote the rock. Moses is the law. He pictures the law. And Moses smote that rock. And when he smote that rock, out of that rock, came water for the whole multitude of Israel. All the children of Israel, water, life came out for them. Christ, when He bore the sins of His people, the law struck Christ. The law smote Christ. And from Christ came life for every single chosen child of God. And you know what else? That rock followed them wherever they went in the wilderness. They did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And so Christ is the rock that's higher than I. He's the rock that's higher than I, who's ever present to save His redeemed. He's always present. You can be at the end of the earth, He's there. You can be overwhelmed and sink to the depths, He's there. Ever present. And He's the rock that's higher than I. He's higher than David. David says He's higher than I. Well, He's not only higher than King David, He's higher than all the kings of the earth. And He's higher than the angels in heaven. And not only that, He's higher than heaven. Such a high priest became us, who's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. He's the rock that's higher than I. Has He not proven it already? Has He not proven that He can save us from the floods? Look at verse 3. Thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. What are we saying? A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. So His past mercies, this is what you have been. Thou hast been a shelter for me. You have been a strong tower from the enemy. And so here's the resolve for the future. Verse 4, I will abide in the tabernacle, thy tabernacle forever, and I will trust in the covert of thy wings. You see the picture back there on the postcard on the back with the chicken, with the little chick, the hen with the chicks on her wings. That's it. Now, I pray God will help us get this, and help me get this, and help you get this. For some reason, when we get into these trials and these troubles and the waves start raging, we want to try to figure out what caused it. Well, how did this come about? What happened here? Why did this happen? What did they say? What did that one say? What caused this? What did I do wrong here? And if I'd have done that other thing, whatever. You can look at the waves until you're underneath the waves, looking up at the waves. Or you can look to Christ. Look to Christ, not the waves. The rock that is higher than I. Now here's David's confidence. How's he going to do this? How's he going to keep crying and abiding and trusting like he says he's going to do? He's not trusting in himself. David's confidence is that God's already heard his cry, and he's already made him a joint heir with Christ. Look here, verse 5. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. For means because. Here's why I'm going to do all this, Lord. Because thou, O God, hast heard my prayer. You've heard my cry. And thou hast given me the heritage, the inheritance of those that fear thy name. See, God had already come to David and made David cry out for salvation. And he cried. And God heard him. And God saved him already. He made him a joint heir with Christ. That's the inheritance. Christ is our portion and we're his portion. We're joint heirs with Christ. Everything that belongs to Christ belongs to us. That's Romans 8. We're joint heirs with Christ. And so because God had already made David fear his name, that's what it means. You gave me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Do you fear God's name? It's healthy to fear God's name. To reverence God and fear God. And that makes you where you... If you fear your father, you won't want to offend your father. And that's what he's talking about. Believing on him. And he said he's already brought me there. And he's already given me an inheritance. So David's assurance that God would keep him so that he could fulfill his vow to persevere in faith was that God had brought him to confess Christ. And then God had made him a joint heir with Christ, and God never writes anybody out of his will. Never. If he's made you an heir, you're an heir forever. Now here's his confidence. Look. He's going to continue trusting God because of what Christ did. Look here. See, by faith, David's looking ahead. He's looking through the ages. I know David is probably, in a sense, talking about himself here because God did prolong him and save him. But prophetically, he's talking about Christ. And that's why the pronoun changes right here. Look, thou wilt prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. Now here's what he's saying. Look, prepare mercy and truth that'll preserve him. Christ came, and you know what he did? He prepared mercy and truth. That's what he did. And it preserved Christ. He came and he made mercy and justice agree in harmony. That's what he was doing on the cross. He came and he declared God just and the justifier of all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he brought in that everlasting righteousness for all his people. And God being pleased with him because he prepared mercy and truth, God preserved him. God raised him. He finished the work God sent him to do. And as God covenanted with him, God raised him from the dead. And so God preserved David in Christ, and he preserved you and me in Christ. You mean David was already preserved in Christ before Christ went to the cross? That's what we mean when we say Christ was David's surety. He was his surety. It was sure. It was sure. And done in God's purpose. So David said, he's talking about it in the future tense, but it's sure. And so God the Father is so pleased with Christ his Son that he prolonged the king's life. See there? Thou wilt prolong the king's life. That's what he did. Christ the king, David's king. He raised him. And his years as many generations, he shall abide before God forever. And Christ is still seated there right now in God's right hand, and he'll be in God's presence forever. And so when he raised Christ, David's king, he raised David. And when he raised David's king, he raised you and me who believe on him. And so, here's David's conclusion. Now look at the conclusion, verse 8. So will I. Remember when we looked at John 3:16? For God so loved the world. Remember, it means after this manner. So, after this manner, so after this manner will I, by God continually beholding Christ before His face. He said there, He's going to be continually before your face. He'll abide before God forever. So by Christ continually being before God's face, by mercy and truth preserving me, because He made mercy and truth meet together, by God continually bringing me to cry. You know, David's sitting here talking about how I will cry unto God. I will cry unto God. Our problem is not so much crying unto God, it's to get us to the point where we will cry unto God. Isn't it? So God brings you to feel like you're at the end of the earth. And He brings you to see your heart's overwhelmed and feel like you can't get your next breath. Why? So you will cry unto Him. And that's how you're going to keep crying unto Him. So God continually holds Christ before His face. He beholds mercy and truth, preserving this child of God right here. And God sees him. He's a little too proud right now. He just got to be king. I'm going to have to bring him down, or he's going to get too proud and forget me and not call on me. I'm going to have his son kick him out of the kingdom. And David cries out to God. And God, he cries out to God, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. And God led him to Christ, not to the rock. And so David says, and so will I sing praise unto thy name forever. That's how I'm going to do it. That was the vow he made. He said back up there, verse 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. That's what I'm going to do, David said. I will do this. When my heart's overwhelmed, I'll do this. He says, verse 4, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. And then he told us how he's going to do that forever. Christ has preserved him. Christ has satisfied justice. God beholds Christ's face. God's going to bring him to cry. And when he cries out, God's going to hear him. And God's going to lead him to Christ. And he says, and so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. What were those vows he's going to daily perform? I'm going to cry unto thee. I'm going to call on thee. I'm going to abide in thy tabernacle. I want to stay under the covert of thy wings. Do you get what I'm saying? Are you with me? So, believer, the waves might be overwhelming. And you may be overwhelmed by the waves. But don't look at the waves. Cry unto God. That's the purpose for the waves, to bring us to cry. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. And He'll lead you to the rock. And so shall you sing praise unto His name forever and continue performing your vow to trust Christ alone. That's how you'll continue. I pray that's a blessing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for this word and for Your many blessings to us. Thank You for trials. It's frightening to say that to You, Father. Nobody likes a trial when it's happening, but we thank You for the trial. We thank You, Lord, that You keep us crying unto You. You keep us overwhelmed at where we can't do anything but cry to You. That is a really good place that You bring us to, Father. We thank You for that. Lord, thank You that You preserve us. This is how You preserve Your people, in Your mercy, in Your truth, Your faithfulness, Your justice. You preserve us because You behold Christ before Your face forever. You do it for His sake. You keep us fulfilling a vow of faith, a vow of trust, not looking anywhere else but You. Lord, make us to fulfill that confession. Make us fulfill it by keeping us calling on Him and abiding in Him and trusting under His wings. How we thank You, Lord, for Your mercy. You're so much wiser than us. We spoil our children and turn them into little brats and they ain't worth nothing. And You just keep yours humble at Your feet, trusting You and obedient to You, calling on You. What a faithful Father. Forgive us our sins, Lord. Forgive us for trying to get out from under the trial. Thank You, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.